This is Rids.
I'm S.
And we are on episode 11 of this podcast, Kokianandu. We have now officially, I think we can officially categorize this as a podcast, given that we are in double digits and have sustained it for 10 episodes.
Yay!
S is dancing. Unfortunately, you'll not be able to see it. Fortunately.
Excuse me, I am a good dancer. I have certificates. How dare you?
She's so easy to rile up.
Shut up. Dancing is something I take immense pride on. I keep on telling, I will be the greatest addition to anybody's sangeet ever. And in general, I dance pretty decently. Theek hai? I'm a good dancer. Just saying. Not some Michael Jackson, but definitely if I'm in your sangeet competition, you will win. Just saying.
On that note,
I was about to say is that yes, we have episodes 11 and we've been following it with a lot more cohesion compared to more Indian television shows.
That's true. We also don't churn our content on the same frequency, but quality over quantity.
See, this is proof of concept that taking time works.
They should just do weekend episodes. This is my recommendation to Indian TV. Like, take the week to record and write and everything. Do, like, 2 episodes each day of the weekend. Like, 4 episodes each week. You'll still end up with the same quantity, but at least you'll have longer time.
Nagin was a weekend show.
And look at the quality of that show. Maybe there are Nagin fans, I shouldn't say it. Amazing show. So much so that it made no sense. Like, it was beyond my understanding. Yep. All right. Now that I've probably alienated, I don't know, half of India, we are going to be talking about Hamesha Ke Liye Lucknow episode, track, my favorite dialogue, probably, of IBK. The one that single-handedly cracks me up every single time I hear it. So. Well, I'll start off with what I liked about this episode, that dialogue, for example. I truly enjoy the fact that Khushi says, I'm going to Lucknow forever and ever. As if, like, I don't know, 20 episodes before this, Arnab didn't just take an helicopter and land in Lucknow, like, that day. I don't understand the emphasis on I am going, like, it's like she's dying. You could never reach me after this point. So hilarious, and my personal joy of this episode, and most of IBK actually, this dialogue is one that stands out a lot.
To be the devil's advocate, Kiki, I think we're going to reach into a lot of devil's advocate the longer we go into the show, is I think when she says I'm going to Lucknow, what really matters is Arnav one won't have any explanation or logic to follow her, because every meeting has been chance meeting. And I think in a way it's for Khushi. It's almost sounds like a breakup for something that was never there. But it's almost like Khushi telling Arnav that they will never meet. And she'll make sure of that.
But I like my explanation better.
I said I'm being the devil's advocate, yeah. I was sure you will not like
me. I am the devil. So.
You guys can't see the look I'm giving her, okay? Like, this is the problem of this not being a video wala video. But yes. No, also, I think it's just, I think it was a sense of permanency because she's like, I'm going back to my hometown and there's nothing you can do about it. And you know where I crack up? It's not when she says the dialogue. Is that she walks away and Arnav is like, you can't leave like that at the mezzanine.
He looks so shocked. And I'm just like, what did you think would, like, you, she quit because you were shit at running the company. She was an employee. You kind of randomly met her a day ago because, I don't know, universe. And you would not have seen her anyway, regardless of her going to Lucknow or not. You probably would not have seen her again because she stopped working at your company. I love the fact that he's so shocked at, I don't know, this is just like such a crack episode for me, or like crack scene for me. Oh my god, I truly enjoy the not over dramatic. The previous episode was over dramatic. This was more just blown out of proportion to me, the way they reacted and said certain things. Also, just I'm gonna mention this because it's also funny, hilarious, is the fact that I think they use a cardboard or whatever it is that wall and door are made out of. It is so, like, it cracks me up every time, like, Burn tries not to break the entire set down while he's taking the door out. And I'm just like, oh, no, then I can see it shaking. I don't think walls are supposed to do that.
I'm dying because I think they've instructed, like, Sanaya could have broken that door down, forget about Burn, because I think they've instructed her to try and push against the door, so 100% effort to Sanaya. She just tries to like slightly push the door and she makes more movement with her body so as to we can understand that she's attempting to open the door. But I find it hilarious because even though Sanaya is just giving it a nudge, the whole door is shaking. And I'm dying that it takes Arnav apparently 3 kicks to break that door. And then he just makes this U-turn. He just turns and
looks like, I did it. What say you about this? My strength.
He's a diet and I'm like, Arnav, if that is your strength, dude, you need more protein in your diet. But yeah.
There's so much about this scene that's like unintentionally funny.
Yeah. I died laughing when that happened. When Sanaya is trying to make sure that she does not break open the door accidentally. And that it's taking Barun like 4 kicks. It's taking Arnav 4 kicks to break that door. And I'm like, if Barun just threw himself against the door, the whole set would just boom, fall. Because I don't know what it was made out of. I
think it almost feels like a cardboard-esque material or something. This keeps happening, by the way. When he's kidnapped, that wall also shakes a lot. I'm just like, I feel like Delhi's going through some, this is a very bad time to say this.
I found that hilarious. I was like, Barun could probably just smash through the wall. He does not need to.
He could be the Hulk.
Arnav Singh Rai Zada, anyways, he's built his body during his kidnapping trap. So he just needs to use it and just go right through the wall. He does not need to do anything else. But yeah, I found that hilarious.
I mean, on to more serious topics, I suppose. The scene, well, I like the fact that Kushi thinks her unsettledness, because she feels it. She knows she feels it. She knows she cannot forget about it. It's because she forgot her Devi Maya statue. She's like, I must go get this back and then everything will be righted in my life.
I have a little bit of a mixed feeling towards that. I mean, I like it that Kushi realizes she's unsettled, but I'm also not too much in favor of Kushi being in absolute denial of what's happening to her. Like, as if Kushi does not know she has feelings and desires and attachments. Like, what I really like about Arnav is, like, Arnav goes through the same thing, right? They're both, like, their emotions are being expressed differently, their length and depth and understanding is all different, but they're both going in this feeling of denial. Arnav has this stony face while going through every single feeling he's having. And Kushi is like, she's trying to find reason in other things. Like, I like it when Kushi accidentally comes across the sindoor ka dabba, the little pot containing sindoor, and she immediately flashbacks to what happened previously on Tej. And she's quiet and confused. And then she's also like, if I find Devi Maya, then all my doubts will be, all my feelings will be settled. And I'm just like, I'm not saying I dislike it or anything. I just have mixed feeling towards it. I'm just like, okay.
I don't think it's, this is more of a naiveness I could get behind or believe in than how she behaves like later on in her marriage and stuff. But I think it's also, it's not that Kushi is unaware of how she's feeling. It's her own way of dealing with it compared to Arnav's. I think she's like, she lies to herself a lot. Arnav doesn't lie to himself. He lies to everyone else, but he never tells himself that he's not feeling what he's feeling, because she does that a lot. They deal with their emotions very differently.
Made for each other. One lies to themselves and the other lies to the whole world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, continuing on that serious note, what I really did like was the soft rubbave that happens when Khushi tells Arnav that she's leaving. Lucknow ja rahe hain, hamesha ke liye. Background music plays a really important role in communicating how the characters feel, and the fact that the whole dramatic, because for the past 3 minutes there's been intense dramatic music with Arnav attempting to break down a wall that could go down with a sneeze, to this whole confrontation, and Arnav being like, I need to tell you this, I still don't know what you want to tell her, all of that, and then Khushi tells us, and you can see that the whole tension, the whole argument, the steam just left. Because you understand it's something shocking because, okay, Arnav is shocked, but also the music comes to an abrupt change. So I really like the way they utilized music in this whole, like, you know, coming to the music, I really like, you understand this is the first time ever Arnav and Khushi can sense each other because of music. And I love it that so much excess could have been done with editing and sound. Like, literally, they could have gone all ballistics over making this a highly edited sequence. But the fact that it's something simple, you hear nothing apart from a wind that's not supposed to exist. And both the characters are just confused because they sense something. We get to see that they sensed something. And there's no camera trick or no editing trick going on. So it's a moment that you can cherish. It's a moment that matters because this is perhaps something that is permanently established in the relationship, is that Arnav and Khushi can always sense each other. And it happens from, it begins from this moment. Up until this moment, those two could be in the same frame and they'd have no idea that the person is behind them. But from now on, they come through this really, this telepathic sixth sense connection is formed between the two. And I think this moment is effective because of how it was directed, shot, and edited. Anything more or less, and it could have been a bit too cringy or like, what are you guys, he runs or something. But this one, because it's so simple, it works.
Yeah, it deliberately shows an advancement in the relationship, that it's progressed beyond slight interest in each other and more like there's something of weight between them now. So I really like that. To wildly shift away from it, from that positive note, I love the fact that she refuses to listen to him and walks away unapologetically. Like, this is still that Khushi who gave him that resignation letter and stormed off, because to her, that conversation's done. Nothing he says could change her mind about what transpired, so she doesn't need to hear anything, and she owes him nothing. And I love the fact that she maintains that in the entirety of this episode.
Yep. I also really love Sanaya's makeup. Like, I really love Khushi's hair and makeup in this episode. The faded kajal, like, really pops her eyes out. It just adds, like, I don't know, it's slightly smoky and it looks beautiful. And even her hair, when her braid is a little loose, so you get these little strands by her that frames her face very, very, very beautifully. I really like that a lot. And one crack thing that, as Rit said, there are many little crack things in this episode. One crack thing that, let me talk about the good thing I like about it, is that when Khushi opens the window and the dupatta flies off, Arnav gives it to her, but he also, like, even at this point, which is very early in the relationship, he can kind of gauge what Khushi's reaction is and he behaves according to that. Like for Khushi, because it's Arnav, it's a dupatta, she feels extremely uncomfortable and she feels uncomfortable. Why she does, whether or not it makes sense, that's not up to question. She feels uncomfortable, period. So Arnav takes that step back, extends his hand when he's trying to understand how much she's uncomfortable and behaves according to that. First, he thinks it's okay to give it to her. And when he understands that Khushi's taken a step away, he then stands in his spot and extends his hand and looks away. Whatever he can do to establish comfort. And I'm like, okay, I respect you for that. That is the bare minimum. And you're doing a good job of just being a good person. But the crack part of this that I find hilarious is when Khushi opens the window, her dupatta flies off, it's on Arnav, and Arnav does nothing. He's standing with the dupatta in his face for like 5 seconds. And I'm like, what was Arnav thinking with the dupatta on his face? I find that very...
just kind of, it reminds me of like, you know, petulant children who don't want to acknowledge something happening. This is both when this happens and when he breaks the door down. He just looks like, okay, I did what you wanted me to do. Now do what I want you to do. And there's just something about this scene that has a lot of hilarious undernotes to it, unintentionally.
Yeah, from this scene, what I like is, I love the plot. I love the way things are going. I love how everything is linking to each other. I love it how Arnav needs to go to his office because Nani has made the situation so suffocating for him at home that he's like, I am going to my office because my people are crazy. So he's going. I like it that Khushi ends up in the guest house. I keep on saying guest house. I don't know what's happened to me today. Khushi ends up in the office because she realizes that she forgot her Devi Maya over there. Which is, again, a very nice touch because Khushi never really went back to the office to get her stuff like that. And that's very interesting. And you know that the height of what the argument happens, that Khushi goes back home and she's like, we need to leave for Lucknow. And what I really liked at the end of the scene is Buaji's reaction to it. We finally understand Buaji has a change of character. And that has come through, like, she's really grown fond of Khushi. And that is something I really wanted to say. Like, in the beginning, we were all like, Buaji would break Khushi's head at the very first chance possible. And now when Khushi tells Buaji about she wants to leave, Buaji's like, oh no, I'm used to you kids. I found it very adorable and a perfect character growth. Like, Buaji's character of liking Khushi has slowly and gradually changed per episode. And you see that over here, which I really liked. And just taking 2 steps back in the scene, what I loved was the chemistry between Arnav and Khushi. I don't have words for it, but the chemistry was through the roof. I don't know what is it about this particular scene, but they both are like magnets at this point. And I am just, there are many things wrong with this scene, many things, but I'm just saying that the chemistry is so electric. Somehow, again, they've somehow maintained this tension that started from the night of the Red Sari photo shoot. That's still simmering. And you can see it. Like, any minute where they both are not fighting or anything, any minute they're looking at each other's eyes, something else is happening, which I find very interesting. Or interesting, say, akhri baat, the last thing that I found, I don't know how to react to this, and maybe it's okay in other cultures, but I just found it very interesting that when Khushi's about to drink water, he grabs the cup, he drinks it, and he gives the same cup to her. I'm not reading into anything. I'm just like, I found it interesting. Paper cup. Again, talking about petulant children, one thing I find hilarious is when Khushi is upset on him and she's like, what will you do? Will you break everything? He throws the paper cup and he looks at her as if he threw, like, I don't know, 100 kg dumbbells. And he just gives her this look and I'm like, you threw a paper cup.
There's it doesn't even make a sound. I'm like, what satisfaction did you get from this? What were you trying to prove? I don't know. Arnav was high in this episode. That's just my theory. Everything he does makes no sense.
Oh, last thing I realized. Sorry. Last thing I realized that I really like is that Khushi does not take Arnav's hand in this episode when after they both fall on the beanbag and then he stands up and he gives his hand and Khushi does not take it. Two reasons. One, that is Khushi defending her self-respect. And I love it. Second is because she did not take his hand now, they've carefully placed a payoff for this moment that you know the moment she takes his hand will be significant.
Diwali? Before Diwali, the Rangoli, is that when it happens? Yeah. This is still the Khushi, like I said this in the last episode, she's setting boundaries with him. She's clearly establishing what's okay and what's not okay, but including the fact that she walks away without listening to him. I really love the fact that she's holding her ground because nothing really changed since her resignation. There has been no significant, they've seen each other, but there has been no shift in how she sees him. Moving on, this track, sort of, we're also covering the whole pre-Lavanya moving in situation. And still, I love the relationship that Arnav and Anjali have. Anjali has been, and still continues to be now, Arnav's conscience almost. Like, she's the one who questions things that he's saying. Because he, like I said, he never lies to himself, but he lies to everyone around him. And she is the one who calls him out on his bullshit. I think Anjali to Arnav and Payal to Khushi were always those characters that if they ever felt like they were lying to themselves for whatever reason, they questioned them into seeing the truth. The fact that Anjali is asking Arnav about his relationship, if he's happy, if this is what he wants, like, this is what a sibling is supposed to do. And it's wonderful to see that. And obviously the ending of that scene where Anjali's trying to talk to him about love and Arnav's reaction is amazing. It's like, et cetera, saase ruk jayenge. And that's just a very sweet moment to me. I really enjoy that scene.
Indeed. I think also Anjali worked really well at this point to clarify certain things about Arnav that the audience might have missed out on. Like, for example, he asked Lavanya to move in, and Anjali brings that question out to the audience if Arnav is doing that because he thinks that's a natural next step of his and Lavanya's relationship, or the reason he's doing it is because he just wants to prove his stance to Nani. And I really like it that when Arnav tries to defend himself and he's like, no, Lavanya is the perfect kind of person. She understands me. And Anjali retorts, well, okay, she understands you. Do you understand yourself? And Arnav just goes through this moment of silence. And I think as an older sibling at this point, Anjali works so effectively in making us think that, oh, there are some things that are left to be unexplored. And what I really loved about this scene was, I just love Anjali. I literally do love Anjali at this scene because, as you said, she still functions as the older sibling that's necessary. And at this point, they still maintained that both the siblings, Payal and Anjali, can understand when something is wrong with Arnav or Khushi. Like, even with Payal, when Khushi gives him random distracted, does not answer her question, but gives a distracted answer, Payal has this thing of like, there's something wrong with my sister and I can't figure out what it is. And they both deal with it differently. Anjali prods Payal, gives Khushi time for Khushi to tell it to Payal. And I think this is something that's very precious over here that we lose out later in the show. Later in the show, like, the Anjali and Payal we see here would have not let the marriage slide off or be angry on their siblings for not telling them about the marriage. Anjali would be like, are you letting our parents' death hover over you? And Payal just would have been like, Khushi, what happened? Tell me. I don't think, the characters that we have at this point, these siblings, they innately understand Arnav and Khushi. And they know what questions to ask or how much space to give them, which I cannot appreciate enough. Also, I love Shyam. Just saying, I really adore Shyam because these are the episodes where I hated that he's a villain. because he's the only person in the house who's giving the most logical answer for everything. He's the one who's stitching every single crack in the family and who's making things, like, I'm like, yes, there's anyone in the show who's making sense? It's Shyam. Why is it that way? Shyam's stance on marriage, on Arnav's decision to not marry or anything is genuinely refreshing. And I think it is so smart to have it come from a character that we're supposed to dislike. Because then it also puts us on an uneasy footing. And we're like, how much can we trust Shyam?
Yeah. It's, I kind of spoke about this last episode as well, but it really gives you an idea of how devastating it would be to the family when they find out the truth, because he is someone who's that, like, steady presence in their life. And Arnav really doesn't have that from anyone else. Yes, Anjali exists as a mirror to him, I think, of how he's living his life. It's very hard to lie with her around, but she's not, I don't think she is someone Arnav would burden with any doubts or concerns he might have. I think Shyam was that character in his life who he could go to for advice. So, yep. Majorly suck when he finds out the truth.
Yeah. And I think that kind of wraps up everything that we loved about this episode. I also love Khushi's ringtone, just saying, Chalo Maiya ke bhavan bhavan bhavan. Amazing. Oh, that reminded me. The final thing that I actually like about this, and I cannot highlight enough, is when Shyam calls Khushi, and when Shyam slips into, I also miss you a lot. I miss you a lot, Khushi ji. And Khushi immediately becomes alert. Yeah, she immediately becomes, excuse me, what are you saying? I think it's very important to highlight that Khushi is uncomfortable with Shyam, irrespective that he's a good person. She, and at this point, Khushi has no reason not to like Shyam. But I think it's very important that they highlighted for us that Khushi, if she does not want an attention from somebody, it's there, it's evident. And I think I really, really like that they put that distinction early in the show.
All right, moving on to things I did not like. I will let you go first. Was there anything?
I mean, the first thing I did not like was the door that we already spoke about, how cracked. That was just crack humor. I was dying at that door.
I didn't like Khushi's dupatta. It kind of looks like a piece of meat.
I loved Khushi's dupatta.
The fact that it's like red and beige. Any other colors I would be fine with. It just looks like marbling on like a piece of like meat. Watch it now. You will never be unable to unsee what I just said.
Disagree to disagree. But yes.
Did you say disagree to disagree?
Agree to disagree. Oh. Yeah. Not that mad. One thing that I don't like it that a Rabbave plays when Khushi is positively afraid of Arnav and he realized he made her cry because he broke her phone.
Mm-hmm.
That is an act of physical aggression. I would have really liked had they put, I know they needed a softer tone for Arnav to realize that he screwed up. And I would have really appreciated if they used Arnav's own themes, like softer tone. And Arnav being like, oh my God, I made a mistake. She's crying. Because Rabbave at this moment is not like a generic something soft. Rabbave means attraction, means whatever. And I do not like it that it's put in a moment of physical aggression, because first of all, I don't like it that for Arnav, he needs to do something that positively frightens Khushi for him to know that he crossed a line. The fact that he had her against the door when she wanted to leave. The fact that he's interrupting her path is inappropriate enough. So I have issues with that. And I won't say they completely romanticize it, but I am saying that there is a hint of romanticization. And unfortunately, because of this, I'm not putting it to this scene, but this thing of romanticizing acts of physical aggression has spread like a disease all across television shows. I just saw one. I didn't see one. I accidentally came across it on my Instagram where the woman is shot and she's forcibly married. All of that shit happens. And she does not want to eat because obviously she's been forcibly married. So the male lead literally grabs the hand that she's been shot at. And out of surprise, she yelps and he forces the spoonful of soup or whatever into her mouth. And in the background, there is a their thematic song happening. And I'm like, I cannot emphasize enough that how much I hate acts of physical aggression being masked with a romantic tune. This is it. I don't have a problem later when he's, I mean, I do have a problem with him banging at the boxes. I don't have a problem with the background score because the background score is tensed and angry and they're having a fight.
Yeah, the many problems that I have with this scene are kind of continuation of what S was talking about. This is a scene where Arnav is aggressive. He corners her. He cuts away her means of communication with anyone else. This is like textbook like predatory behavior. So to me, there's like this entire scene outside of its crack unintentional humor is one that this stands out as a, like, there's a lot of problematic things with IPK. We are doing a top 10 problematic tropes thing at some point. So you'll hear more of our thoughts on some of these, but this scene is a good indicator of like something that you consider to like you, it kind of gets passed for normal behavior or normal, like passionate, I guess, like relationship behavior that is riddled with problematic things. It's clear that Kushi is uncomfortable. It's clear that she does not want to talk to him. I don't care if he has the world's like most important news to tell her. It's not his place to corner her like that, to make her feel unsafe. The fact that he realizes that she's crying and steps back is already too little too late to me. This is the start of something that continues to be a problem for me in that he causes issues, and when he corrects them, we're kind of supposed to find it romantic or consider his character to be good because he realizes that. But that's like, I don't give him brownie points for it because this is something that any decent human being should be doing from the beginning. And this scene has a lot of those things. And the one reason I can forgive it is Kushi doesn't forgive him. She walks away. Like, she doesn't give him a chance to explain his side of things, or she doesn't see him do things like you know, give her dupatta back or whatever. She'd never, it's not an indicator for him that indicator for her that he's a decent person. It's more so just something he did. And I like that also changes later on, and I have a bigger problem with it, but it's okay because Kushi doesn't react positively to his, I guess, attempts at making up.
I love the first half of the office sequence where Kushi's sitting, she's thinking about him, he's looking at her, and they're having all of that. My major problem with this scene is Arnav is extremely physically violent. He's very violent. Like, I would not like to be in a close space with him. And he keeps on repeating his aggressions. Like, it's not that because he breaks her phone that he controls himself and he's like, he will not behave with her aggressively post this point.
He doesn't learn. It's not a momentary loss of control. It's established as his character. And that I have a lot of problem with. That's not a character who I would consider to be romantic. If it is a lead in a romantic plot, then that's not a good relationship to me.
Like, it continues. Like, yes, it is crack that he throws the plastic, the paper cup away, that he gives her this look as if, I don't know, he threw a whole building away or something. But the fact that he continues doing this thing, I just feel that barring whatever level of attraction I might have for a man, if he broke my phone, removed his suit, throws away paper cup, corners me to a pile of boxes, slams those boxes, then goes and slams the door. Yeah. These are all acts of aggression. The only saving grace is that there is no rabbave during these acts of aggression, apart from that phone breaking shit. But yeah, these are all acts of aggression and this was not proper. And this is the one thing I really dislike about IPK, is that even in the future episodes, they really pick on this point of Arnav being extremely violent through verbal, physical, whatever. And then him stopping because he sees Khushi's tears. I can list down 10 moments where this happens and I'm like, this is not right. You should not push someone to tears and then realize that, oh, I screwed up. So yeah, I just in general have a problem with Arnav's behavior once they're inside the storeroom. Outside the storerooms, I kind of like it. Inside the storeroom, I'm like, yeah, I have problem. I have issues.
And the other thing, and this is I hate Arnav segment for me. He comes across as extremely entitled to me, both in this scene and the scene where he's talking to Anjali, because a lot of what he's saying is, this is about Lavanya. Lavanya is someone who understands me, who understands what I want, who understands what is important to me in a relationship, agrees with me. And like, there's two people in a relationship. Do you understand her? Do you know what she wants? Do you care? Arnav's not someone who they established as ignorant. Like, Arnav's not ignorant of Lavanya's feelings. He knows them. But the relationship as it is works for him, so he never questions it. But the fact that he asks someone to move into his house, one, knowing how hostile of an environment it will be, he's putting her in the crosshairs and isn't concerned about it. He doesn't take any, like, he steps in from time to time, but it's like, he's not stupid, right? So he knows what bringing her into this house will be like for her and does it regardless, because it's what he wants to do. He wants to prove a point to Nani. To me, he's not a good relationship partner. Like, he's not a good boyfriend, but between these two scenes, I'm like, people should just stay away from him. He's not a good person to be in a relationship with in general. I also, to me, even to this day, when I've watched that scene and when Anjali asks, I don't know how she phrases it, but something along the lines of like, when he goes on this spiel of like, she understands me, she understands blah, blah, blah. And she says, do you understand? And I almost expect the follow-up sentence to be like, do you understand her? And she says, do you understand yourself? And I'm like, fuck that. Like, does he understand the other person in this relationship? No one points that out to him and no one questions him on that. And I find that very disappointing.
I cannot agree enough. While I love the dialogue that he tells Lavanya over the phone, that where Lavanya is like, oh, I'm coming to your house. What do I need to wear? Do I need to change the way I am? And Arnav is like, no, you don't have to change the way you are. You just be the way you are. I think, to be the devil's advocate, I don't think Arnav realized that shit will hit the fan to that extent. I think Arnav always thought that his problem, that everyone thought his problem was that he's not serious with a girl, and he's like, yeah, look, I have a girlfriend, I'm bringing her home, deal done. Now I won't have people harping on my head. I would say Nani's outburst is even a little bit of shock for Arnav. I don't think he realized things would go out of hand that much. But yes, I was also like, I don't know, dude, think about Lavanya. Like, you're asking her to move in with you. You're not asking her to go on some project or something. This is a big decision. What are you thinking about? So I did have issues with that. I have permanent issues with how Nani is just approaching this and how the whole family thinks it's okay. Like, a part of me is frightened. I'm like, Lavanya, don't enter this house, because this whole family is plotting to change you head to toe the minute you step inside this house.
And we're supposed to think it's a good thing too. That's the other like grating thing, or like that grates on my nerves, is the fact that in all of this, the tone of delivery is that the family's right, that they should have an issue with everything that's happening. They're right to change Lavanya.
I find that very weird. Like, that is, I have a big problem with this episode, is in the background of whatever, like, Arnav and Khushi are doing whatever in the office. Over here, the family is like, yeah, she'll come and we'll change her head to toe. And this is right, because you're all supposed to be desi. And I'm like, excuse me, if anyone even told me to change my shirt, I will rip that person's head apart, because I'll be like, nope, ye nahi ho raha. So yeah, that's that. One thing, yeah, one, I mean, Anjali is more focused on Arnav than with whoever he's in a relationship with. Like, this is something we even see when he's in a relationship with Khushi later on. Anjali very rarely talks to Arnav about Khushi. She talks to Arnav about Arnav, and she talks to Khushi about Arnav.
That's true. I'm not saying that Anjali is like, should stick up for anyone he's in relationship with to the same extent that she does for Arnav. He's her brother, which is understandable. It's more just to me, Lavanya, until Khushi becomes her friend, is a very lonely character. I don't think we see her that way. We're supposed to, like, because they set it up as, you know, she's the problematic person in this, because she's modern and she has these, like, she wears short dresses, she speaks her mind, all of this is supposed to be bad. But I just, my heart hurts for Lavanya, because no one's thinking about what that girl wants and what she deserves in a relationship. Not even her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's catering to Arnav's wishes, and not a single person questions the fact that this is a horrible situation to put her in.
Yeah. And also, like, I had a lot of problem with, I am someone who will be very happy to move into the next step of a relationship if I'm in a relationship with someone. I am like, one of my basic lines while flirting with anyone is that I'm going to marry you if I like you. I don't flirt with anyone. I'm just seeing this in my head. But one of the biggest problems I have in this scene is Arnav just calls up Lavanya and he's like, pack your bags, you're coming to live with me.
Entitled. Entitled.
This is not a two-day trip to Bahamas. Like, what are you thinking? You are literally asking someone to change their residence. How little can you think? And immediately Lavanya is shown being happy and everything. Lavanya is not like, Arnav, is your family okay? Also, we have to assume Arnav and Lavanya have never spoken about moving in. Like, at least not like in this term that she will move into his house. He's just like, yeah, come, move in with me. And because Lavanya is Arnav's girlfriend, she's supposed to be happy, as opposed to like, wait, are you telling me to shift my residence? Are we going to be living in the same room, separate rooms? What's happening? 99% of the problems, like, we are jumping ahead, but 99% of the problems that happen later in the show is because Arnav never spoke to Lavanya what his family is like, how to expect, how the Raizada household functions, what it is, what does it mean to live together at Shantivan, as opposed to him living with her in her flat. Like, none of it is discussed.
It's never, see, this is what I mean, like, he never asks her anything, he expects things. Like, this is very much a boss-employee relationship. It's not a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship. And it's, to me, it's very indicative of him as a character, unfortunately, and it's not a positive picture.
Yeah.
So yeah, now that, and that's mostly what I had. To me, he comes across as extremely entitled and only cares about the people that he cares about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That is what I found weird. One thing that starts taking seeds, like starts germinating over here, that becomes a massive problem later, is when Khushi comes home after her very, like, you know, tumultuous exchange with Arnav. Payal realizes something is shit. Buaji does not see that Khushi is a problem. Buaji is busy to sing songs about Shyam. And this is a problem that starts over here, that slowly and gradually gets on my nerves. Where I'm like, Buaji, why can you not see your niece being in trouble? Why do you only see where she's getting attention from? Which is very problematic. This is where slowly and gradually Buaji starts assuming some control of Khushi's life. Very slowly, very minimally. You don't see it up until later episodes, but this is where you start seeing that thing put in where Buaji is oblivious to how Khushi feels, because she has her own thing about Khushi to say, which I have a lot of issues with. And the last thing is that I think, again, Akash is wasted. The perfect balance of a person who agrees with Arnav's ideas but also walks the way that his family expects him to be. Like, because Akash is supposed to be Arnav's antithesis, and I think this would have been a great point where they could have used Akash. I don't know why they kind of discard Akash and they remember that, oh, we need to put his and Payal's scene somewhere, and there's an Akash Payal scene. And then again, Akash is forgotten for, like, I don't know, 5 billion years, and they're like, oh, we need to put Akash and Payal scene over here. Because I found it very weird that Akash and Payal ended up being married first, because I'm like, you guys know each other for 1 month and you've met 5 times. What's happening? You would have met more had your rishta been arranged than you guys, whatever courtship you both had. I can understand why Payal totally freaked out when Akash is like, I love you, marry me. And she's like, I've seen you 4 times. How are you asking me to marry you? So I'm really disappointed that Akash is completely wasted as a character here. And the reason why I feel disappointed is because this episode, this office storeroom episode, needed another character who is not Shyam to tell the family, like, someone who understands Arnav and also understands the family, and be like, excuse me, what's happening? I think we need to stop. Akash would have been the perfect character who could have interjected to Shyam and Nani's plan of changing Lavanya. Because he's also Lavanya's friend, and we get just a hint of a cordial exchange between Akash and Lavanya, and he's someone who's seen Lavanya work. And I wish Akash could have easily been that progressive character who would have told his family that it's not easy for Lavanya to sit up and move and settle over here when she works with someone else, she does someone else. Like, I would have had so much more respect for Akash as a character. He could have easily been that person who could have stood up for Lavanya without having a relationship. He's just her friend. For him, it logically does not make sense.
Like, if I didn't, I wouldn't even have cared if the family reacted negatively to it. I would have expected them to, but someone needed to be the character to speak sense.
I can imagine Akash saying that Lavanya bhi kisi ki beti hai na. Di, you do not change for Shyam, Jija ji. Why should Lavanya change for Bhai? And Bhai also would not want Lavanya to change. In my eyes, Akash was the one guy. The point of focus is Kushi's declaration to leave for Lucknow and the impact it has.
Yes, I've already spoken about the hilarity of the declaration. Impact to me is, again, it's a progression in a relationship that isn't a relationship yet. It shows that this is serious enough for it to bother Arnav. It almost haunts him, this dialogue that she's moving to Lucknow. He keeps being unable to sleep. He keeps remembering, he keeps thinking about this. Like, he, later on when he sees the locked door, he thinks about this. It's something that I think, it's so far he's just confused about what he's feeling. I think this is the moment where he starts to understand that, yeah, I might already be in it, sort of a thing. Because again, he doesn't lie to himself. He just ignores what he feels.
Yeah, I find it very interesting how Kushi, I wish Kushi would have said this later on in the marriage when he's being crap and she's like, that's it, I'm leaving for Lucknow, hamesha ke liye, and storms off. But I found it very interesting because it sounded like a breakup to a relationship that never existed. You know, the title is Pyar Ko Kya Naam Do really suits at this position, because you don't know why it should affect him. You don't know why Kushi should be compelled to tell him that she's leaving forever. And she brings up things that, you hate me, you don't like my status, you don't like my face, so I'm leaving. It's a very, very intentional the way that dialogue is structured. And I found it very interesting because that is something that tells us that something had formed between them.
I think it's more like, this is something that she does later on that I've observed. I don't think she does it here because of that reason. She states things that she wants denied by the other person. And she, to a certain extent, does that in this scene. I don't think she expects him to deny because she fully believes he hates her, but she does this a lot during, like, Nainthal trip, like the car sequence. She does it with Payal in one of the beginning episodes where she states all the things that she thinks are wrong about her, or like things that the other person might be thinking. And I think her expectation is for them to correct it, but then just stays it to people who never, like Arnav, who's completely unaware. But it's, I don't know, it, to this, the distance makes the heart grow fonder theory is established, I guess, in these scenes, because Kushi's less bothered than Arnav is in these episodes. Like, she still thinks about him, but Arnav's very conscious of the fact that there's something that he wanted to say he couldn't, and he might never get the chance to. And that's a, I don't think it was an I love you. I don't know what he wanted to say. We never find out. He might not even know what he wanted to say, but it's something that, again, like I said in the initial part of this, it's a fundamental progression and shift in the relationship, and it's mostly on Arnav's side.
Yeah, and I think we still get the opportunity to see both of them reflecting on this, which we lose out later in the show, that Kushi happily tells Devi Maya that she's leaving for Lucknow, she'll be with her parents, everything will be good. And you see her smile fades the more she talks to Devi Maya. And one thing over here that Arnav wakes up to Kushi's, to the nightmare that Kushi's telling him that she's leaving for Lucknow forever, it kind of ties into what Arnav says almost like 200, 300 episodes later to Kushi, that he always had nightmares about his parents' death. But the more he got to know her, all those nightmares seemed to be replaced by Kushi. And one of the reasons why I really like that dialogue is that we see it here. We see Arnav waking up from his sleep because he's thinking about Kushi. We see Arnav is always thinking about Kushi, and he's no longer having nightmares, which is, it's a sweet development to see. And it's something that gives weight to what he says 300 episodes later. And I find that incredibly cute. I like it that Kushi, Arnav recognizes more of what his feelings for Kushi might be, especially in that sequence when Anjali starts describing what love feels like. And Arnav is like, oh my God, yeah, it's Kushi. And what I really love is Arnav is not in instant denial. Rather, he tells Anjali that if I ever met a girl like this, then I'd be away from her. And like, that is a very good dialogue. And I really like it that Kushi does not view it in light of romance yet, but she is also repeatedly haunted by the fact that Arnav stopped her Devi Maya from falling to the floor, and that he returned her dupatta to her. And she does not view it as in, one thing that's still consistent about Kushi is that she does not view Arnav's one good act to whitewash him. She's just confused. She was confused as to why he saved her. She was confused both times in the rain as well as in the guest house. And even now she's just confused about why did he save the Devi Maya statue, and why, like, him giving her the dupatta and just being quiet about it. Like, it's nice to see she's thinking about it. She's not judging his character by it. She's not making any amendments in her head as to Arnav is a better human being because of this. But you do see that these few moments, they leave her with an impression for a shorter amount of time than it does with Arnav. Arnav remembers these moments for a longer amount of time, which is interesting.
Yep. No, I don't have anything else to say about this. I think I'm too close to the storeroom scene where I'm pissed at Arnav to consider the romantic aspects of their relationship quite yet.
Yeah. I like it that they give this story time, because the story needed time. It needed time. Like, by the time Arnav is ready to confess his love to Kushi, you can buy into it, because there's been months and months of development. One thing that my heart breaks is that Kushi, that she leaves midway for Lucknow, right? So when she comes back with a character reset. This is the last we see of this really strong-headed Kushi.
Yep. Now going back to Lucknow drains her of her powers.
Yeah. And with that note, we come to an end of our episode. And Ritz, you want to say something?
Yeah. No, we will we'll see you with, well, I probably won't see you on the next episode, but S will. And you'll probably hear me on the top tens.
Yes. So Ritz is still with us. Don't be afraid, because without her, what is this podcast? Then is podcast ko kya naam do nahi, ye podcast hi nahi hai naam dene ke liye. She actually does work, unlike Arnav Singh Raizadeh, who's probably left Aman to do every single thing of AR. Rids, unfortunately, has to work. She has important things in life that does not pertain to Rabave, which I'm very proud of.
Aman.
She also does not have an Aman. See that? Practical problems, guys. So for next episode, we will have a very, very special guest, because again, I keep on saying guest and I keep on misleading people. I have a very good friend, and it's someone that I've been in talks with her for like months to be like, yay, please be a part of a podcast. And she's an avid listener. So I hope you guys will have a fun time with her. And Rids, like how IPK exists in us after 10 years, she will continue to exist.
Does this feel like a farewell party to me?
Shut up. It's not a fair. If it's a farewell party, then I will end up. I'm trying to find what is the funniest
thing. Main meri kaam karne ja rahi hu hamesha ke liye.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. There is no hamesha in this case. She will be with us here on top 10s and on quizzes, and probably continue to suck at getting a full 10 on 10 on quizzes.
And it's not like you got one either. So.
How dare you?
How dare I? You brought it up first.
Oof. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening to us. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we will be discussing about Lavanya's entry to Shantivan and Khushi opening her own little sweet shop.
Bye.